Welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 172 for Wednesday, December 1st of 2021. And on tonight's podcast, we've got Hunter Nix. How you doing, Hunter?
Woo! We're excited. Even though we're not a winning team, we're excited for the first time in a while.
Yeah, we didn't quite make that bowl berth that we were hoping for, but we'll get into that in a minute.
You know, yeah, it was... it was something. Just on to the next, right?
It was something, absolutely. We also on tonight, we've got Nick Howard. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Glad to be back on.
Yeah, he's smiling because he can focus now fully on basketball season.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The fun part,
absolutely. So we'll catch up with Nick at basketball in a minute. And rounding out tonight's roundtable, we've actually got TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Hey, well, it's a new beginning. Started today, I guess. Well, I guess started yesterday, kind of. But new, you know, now it's all about looking forward. Let's put all the past behind us and let's start looking forward.
Yeah, we got a lot to
look
forward
to. At least that's what I'm going to do. That's the best thing to do. I let y'all kind of mention, you know, the end of the season. I'm done with it. I'm looking 2022, 2023, recruiting class, you know, coaches, new coach, all that stuff.
That's a good outlook to have. Before we get, though, to looking ahead, let's circle back to Nick real quick because basketball season is well underway. And, Nick, why don't you take us through what's happened in the last week?
Yeah, absolutely. Get started with the girls first since they have a home game tomorrow. They have a 7-game home stretch starting tomorrow. They face off against Southeastern Louisiana. Right now the girls are 2-3. And then after this game they have tomorrow on Wednesday, they have another home game Sunday for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. And they play against the University of Florida. And then with the guys had a game last night. They played against Austin Peay. And Micah Peavy actually got to play against his brother, DJ Peavy, so that was pretty cool. But, you know, Micah definitely got the upper hand. Yeah, it was a good game. Got the upper hand, and TCU took care of business and got the W, and they get ready for Thursday as they play against Oral Roberts. It's a pretty good team. Oral Roberts has a Max Abmas. The guy can light it up from deep, Steph Curry type range, so. It's going to be a good game, but I think TCU got the guards to be able to keep up with them and, slow them down. So it's going to be a good one.
Yeah,
Are they home Thursday?
Yeah, home Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. That's going to be a quick-paced game if they can't slow them down. So hopefully they can figure out something. So that'll be a good one to watch. Well, one thing that was not good to watch was the season finale in football against Iowa State. We're not really going to go into it too much. I think everybody at this point has either seen it or has wished they hadn't. Not a really good effort by the Frogs. Close out the year one win shy of a bowl eligibility. And, to be honest with you, it was kind of one of those games where I think everyone kind of felt it was coming along. We had a little bit of hope, maybe they could pull it out and get to a bowl game. But at the end, like what Dubber was talking about, I think the past is in the past. It's time to look forward and turn the page to take a lyric from the old coach's favorite singer and kind of get into what we are going to see out of TCU football in the future, and that is a new head coach. Sonny Dykes was officially announced on Monday in a quick little kind of in and out forum with the students and on the TCU campus. He didn't really say much, kind of came in, said, "Hey, I'm Sonny Dykes," and left. And then today, Nick, you were at the press conference where he was officially introduced as the new TCU head coach. And was it a packed house at the press conference?
Oh, it definitely was. It was packed. All the Hall of Famers came out. I was disappointed I didn't see you there, Dubber. Wanted to see you there, but it was great. A different press conference than usual, you know. Like you said earlier, Gary, he always shortchanges us. You know, doesn't like the media sometimes. But Sonny, he's definitely going to give us something different. We'll probably get to talk to coordinators and assistant coaches now, and more players. So it's going to be fun moving forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans, for those of you who are listening, you may not have realized just how much Patterson micromanaged the press and just how much, you know, access we actually got, we being the press. You were never able to actually talk to a coordinator or a player without actually clearing it through the front office, which meant Gary himself. It wasn't something that this program was very open to. So it is going to be interesting to see just how much that changes now that we're in the Sonny Dykes era of TCU football. And Hunter, let's bring you in here. Let's talk a little bit about the staff, because that was one of the big question marks I think a lot of us had, knowing that Dykes was kind of the head candidate, was especially, and I mentioned it when we were talking about Sanders, what is the staff going to look like?
So what we know right now, we've got a pretty full staff already. We've still got to work on the defensive side, but we do know one defensive coach, that will be back, and that's Paul Gonzalez. He's staying on the staff. So is Malcolm Kelly. And then we're adding from SMU, Garrett Riley, David Grew, and Chidera Uzodiride. He's a D-line coach, David Grew's wide receivers, and Garrett Riley's the OC. And then Mark Tomerdahl is coming in to be the special teams coordinator. Then we've got a new strength coach, Kaz Kazadi, and the assistant running backs coach, and the two assistant running backs coach are Rashad Samples and Brian Carrington. These are our biggest two, and they're, in my opinion, the most two important coaches that we got. They are the recruiting gurus of Texas. They have been. Brian Carrington was with Herman as the recruiting coordinator in Texas when he was there, and he has a name. And then Rashad Samples as well in the DFW area. He's the son of longtime Duncanville head coach Reggie Samples. He played at Houston and then has been on Sonny Dykes' staff for a few years. He was the associate head coach and running backs coach and is a great recruiter as well. Those two guys, you know, in my mind, we swung for the fences and we hit a home run.
Well, Samples,
was it DeSoto or Duncanville?
Duncanville.
Okay.
So wasn't Samples the one who tweeted out at Zach Evans yesterday?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So here's another news story we just totally glossed over. Zach Evans announced that he was going to enter the portal. I don't think it officially has happened yet.
He's in the portal.
He is. Okay.
But
right. It wasn't last night.
But big time, everyone should remember the portal. Anyone can go in the portal anytime and come right back out.
Right.
Zach Evans is by no means gone. In fact, I think he's going to stay.
Really?
You didn't hear it here first because, LT's already kind of let the cat out of the bag. He talked to him, it sounds like. But it sounds like Zach Evans is going to be here next year. You know, I would say unless things take a turn for the worse, he will be.
And, you know, I'll say something about this. I probably should have said something earlier, but back and forth. You know, I've talked to a few people myself. And I've heard back and forth stuff about Zach Evans, but I'm telling you right now, I think the kid was hurt and he had turf toe, and turf toe don't sound like anything, but for a running back,
that's a big deal.
Turf toe is like a high ankle sprain. All I know is of all the injuries I had there in college, I'd have to take my toes up because when them big toes start hurting, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, and as a running back, you know, you're just being so dynamic on your feet and cutting and this and that. Well, you know, I think it was Deion Sanders really and truly. I think when he played for the Cowboys, he was out for half a year with turf toe. You know, and everybody, because you don't understand, you think, oh, turf toe. Man, I mean, you'd almost rather a toe be broke than have turf toe.
And, yeah, you know, for what he does.
Go back and forth. And I know he had a little problem when he was in high school and stuff, but really and truly, everything I've ever read about being a teammate, about blah, 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 this and that. Now, I'm not saying he might not leave the portal. You know, I mean, the coaching change might make, you know, a lot of kids leave. But I think he's been a pretty good player / teammate. I mean, that's what I've seen. And, of course, you know, you see all the things written and stuff, but everything I've seen has been positive. I know he got in trouble a little bit with first, you know, Coach Patterson said he was a knucklehead at the first year, but when I see him on the sideline, all I do is see him encouraging and doing this and rah-rahing people and stuff like that. So I hope he's back, because don't make no mistake about it. He's a five-star running back. I mean, there ain't no way to cut it there. And if he doesn't stay with us, he'll go somewhere good. It's not like he's going to go jump off to Stephen F. Austin, nothing wrong with Stephen F. Austin or anything like that. I'm just saying he's not going to be going to – there'll be a big school that picks him up because he is a five-star running back.
No, yeah, he'll go somewhere like Georgia.
Again, yeah, and I think this is kind of going back to what I was talking about with the, you know, the way that Patterson handled the press. I think this was one area that did him a disservice. Not Patterson, I'm talking about Evans. Because Patterson's not the kind of guy to talk about injuries. He's not a guy to talk about things unless he's trying to make a point for a player in the press. And I think the lack of information about what was going on with Evans outside of he was tired as to why he was getting as few carries as he was getting, I think that kind of bred an environment of speculation and assumptions within the fan base that didn't do him any service. And I think that's a problem, and I think that's something that hopefully with Dykes coming in and with that tweet that Samples sent out to Evans and what you're talking about with what LT has said, hopefully if Evans sticks around, hopefully that those things will change for the better when it comes to our players.
You know, Sean, and I think you make the best point. I mean, because, you know, I understand why coaches do it. I mean, all coaches do it. Patterson did a little bit more than most coaches, but he wasn't going to tell you what an injury was. You know, a dude could be walking off the field with his arm broke, and everybody could see it on TV, and Patterson be at the press conference going, I don't know, I think it might be his left leg. You know, he's going, I don't know what it is. You know,
we'll see how it is over the week.
I mean, he played concussion protocol. You know, I mean, you know, everybody's like, well, I thought I saw him broke arm, you know, blah, blah. But Patterson's not going to tell you, hey, it's a broke arm. I mean, he's gonna put up smoke and mirrors. And then the whole week you're going to hear, well, I don't know. He might be there. I don't know if he's going to be out. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking, man, that dude come back from a broke arm. That's unbelievable. And then you find out he ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Well, I think that does the same thing. He, you know, he didn't want to tell anybody, hey, got turf toe, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't want to discuss, you're right. He don't want to discuss the injuries. And so in today's times, with
everything. No news is bad news. And it means everyone's going to speculate and think the worst thing and make something up and put it on Twitter.
Yep, absolutely. And Patterson, you know, I kind of jokingly one time called it the Black Knight Syndrome, right? It's just a flesh wound. It's like the dude could be missing an arm. Oh, it's just, you know, we don't know. It's all good. It's like, man. Yeah. And that was just the way it was. And it didn't do him any favors, Zach Evans, any favors with the fan base, because, you know, we saw the guy being very dynamic and then suddenly he just disappeared in the middle of the game. What's going on? And Patterson wasn't forthcoming as far as what was going on. And I hope that, you know, with, like you said at the beginning, Dubber, looking forward and just putting the past behind us, this season needs to definitely be just dead and buried as far as I'm concerned. And I think hopefully moving forward with Dykes, we get a little bit more information and the fan base could kind of give people a little bit of slack.
Yep, I agree. Well,
and I think honestly that's already happened. I mean, I feel like we've gotten more information already from our head coach in the first press conference. Kind of like I told you guys earlier, it feels like we won a press conference for the first time in a while. So, you know, we haven't done that in a bit with Coach Patterson. You know, not to say hey, love GP. Let's just get that out there. Every time when I say something negative after the fact, you know, or something positive about the new coach, love GP. Wouldn't be here without him. But we're, you know, love GP. We're on to the next.
You're right. I mean, that's a good point.
Love him. Hey, love him. But at the same time, we've already gotten so much more information. You know, they talked about today in the press conference about how we're about to actually use the data and analytics on the strength and conditioning side of TCU football. We've never done this. We've never had the GPS trackers on people. We are one of the most hurt teams in the country every year, especially the last three or four. And, you know, it just happens to coincide when everyone else is getting this technology and TCU is living in the past. So, you know, I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about Dykes. He was awesome. And then, you know, I have tweet recruits or tweet notifications for Rashad Samples and Brian Carrington now. So hope it's going to be a fun next few weeks.
Yeah, it will be.
I'll tell you what, I enjoyed, I mean, you know, all the different stuff, but I thought it was just, like Hunter said, it was a totally different press conference. I'm not saying anything. Coach Patterson was a great football coach. I mean, but the little stuff he didn't like to do was, man, I mean, the first thing he said was, I don't understand why somebody doesn't like the portal. You know, he said something about the portal right off, you know, hey, I believe in the portal. It doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, I think that's what you get good players out of the portal. I don't mind kids going into the portal. I don't mind, you know, I mean, it was like, hey, that's just the way it is. I love it, you know, blah, blah. And then somebody said something to me on NIL. He didn't shy away from that. He talked about that, you know, I mean, all that stuff like that, that, you know, that almost like it was a mystery, you know. I mean, he just, boom, he took it head on. I tell you another thing I like, because Hunter's right about this. I mean, you know, really and truly, besides your coordinators, I mean, you know, it could be recruit coordinator, offensive, defense coordinator. Really, the next most important person is your strength coach. Because once January hits, that's who you spend all your – that's who your kids spend.
Coaches are recruiting. They're gone.
Yeah.
Huh?
The coaches are recruiting. They're gone. Yeah, you don't see them.
So you're spending most of your time with that strength coach. And I do – I'm not saying we have a bad strength coach. He might have been the greatest strength coach in the world. All I know is it just seemed like the last few years, our number of injuries and could not – and maybe we just got the injury bug. You know, who knows for sure. But it just seems like there's a correlation there. I mean, we'll see. You know, new strength coach, analytics, and stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see if that's going to play it out for us on the positive side, which I really think it will.
Yeah, I love you, GP, but things are a little bit more sunnier. But
this is going to be a very punny podcast.
But this is like
we're all in a really good mood.
Yeah.
But like Jamie said about two press conferences ago for basketball, he has stated that the transfer portals, the new era now, you just got to get used to it. And Jamie talked about just for, you know, basketball, how he likes the transfer portal because he's getting players on a team that's developed and that helps the team just moving forward because you don't have to develop that player in a certain skill or a certain aspect, and it helps the team in a certain ways, just pushing forward. So I think it's going to be big for like a guy like Sonny Dykes and, you know, like the two recruiting gurus that Hunter mentioned earlier. It's going to be good when they, you know, start getting more bigger name transfers in because those guys are going to be developed and TCU is going to start looking like a more mature team moving forward.
Yeah, and those were two areas that we had identified weeks ago when Patterson left the program that we needed to shore up very quickly was the NIL situation, and we've gone over that, but also the transfer portal. And that was the two things that I think was in Sonny Dykes' favor among the fan base because he's shown that he's played that hand, at least the transfer portal for sure, at SMU very well. And so knowing that, you know, he didn't shy away from that at the press conference, he's going right on into it, and his coaching staff seems to be right on top of things like the Zach Evans situation with the transfer portal. That is a nice change of pace from what we've seen with Patterson in the past.
Well, I would say he's probably the best guy I've seen in the portal so far. I mean, just really just taking a team and just turning it on its head. And I'm not saying just get rid of people, but – he went to the portal and filled a lot of holes. And like I said, yeah. I believe the portal's there. I mean, you know, to get backups and this, and I'm not saying that, but really, you're also getting people in the portal because you think they're filling a need that you have. You know, that's the great thing about the portal is you don't have to wait for a freshman to grow up. Let's say you got a good, well, like, you know, a couple of his teams, you know, hey, he had some pieces there. He just went to the portal and put all the pieces together, and all of a sudden he changed that whole, he just changed it all the way around overnight almost.
Yeah,
he
and this year's
– to the portal and doing that.
This year is going to be massive for the portal as well. I think for us and a lot of teams because – you know, us specifically, we've got a late start on things because we just hired our head coach. But at the same time, the portal this year is also super crazy because all the shakeups just around the country. You've got guys from Oklahoma, you know, entering the portal left and right. In fact, a few that probably will be TCU targets, you know, Marvin Mims to be one, just dropping that in there. He was Chandler Morris's roommate at OU. And oh, yeah. He has now entered the portal, and he's also from Frisco. So, you know, might fit. But, yeah, I mean, I think the portal will be huge for a ton of schools this year just because there is so much coaching mix and mash going up right after COVID. And then everyone is kind of figuring out you do have that one free transfer at this point. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I could see us really maxing out the whole – I think it's 33 now you're allowed to add every year. I could see us adding 33 players this year. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, not to mention that shakeup also kind of affected the incoming freshmen as well, the recruiting class. So definitely. I know there were a couple of guys that were, I guess, originally committed to SMU that decommitted that we were originally looking at as well. So, you know, that those are players that possibly may follow Dykes as well that we were hoping to get and may actually
end already up one of them is committed. That's Jordan Hudson. Oh, and great. Then actually two. Yeah. So one of them is a 4-star receiver from Garland for this year. His other 4-star safety, Chase Biddle, remember that name? He was the guy who was supposed to commit to us, did not, and then ended up committing to SMU. He's probably back to us now. And then also we got a 2023 recruit who is a top 250 player in the country, wide receiver from North Mesquite. So definitely pulling in the DFW recruits with these new recruiting gurus we've got who have tried to build a wall around Dallas. I am so excited.
Well, that's one of the things I'll say too. You still have to, even if you're getting people out of the portal, you still got to have your freshman mix. It's got to be a mixture of things. It's got to be a mixture of young guys, portal, old guys. You know what I mean? I mean, there's just a, you know, every year there's going to be a different mixture of people. But I agree with Hunter, too. You know, I think we did this great. I don't know if we – I mean, we did it still, but we kind of got away from it. If you look at a roster a little bit, man, there's so much talent in DFW. There's so much talent in Houston. And, you know – I agree with him. He says, hey, he said this day, he said there's no better talent base right here at DFW, no better coaches in high school coaches in DFW. And I agree with him. There's no better in Houston. I mean, you know, and he says as far as flat talent, man, I mean, Houston and Dallas, you know, those metroplexes, there's tons of talent that you're just walking right past. And then, and my thinking is, and then you get out to the small towns, you get out to the country towns, and you got, you know, you got talent out the gazoo out there, you know. And so I like it that he's really coming back to really concentrate back in the Metroplex area, the, you know, Houston area, because I also think it does another thing too. You know, your fan base stays kind of interested
when you got local kids.
Basically, yeah. When you got people that are there around the Metroplex and they're kind of being able to keep up with their guy and stuff like that. I just think I just think it kind of goes hand in hand a little bit.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, go, Sean.
Well, I was going to say, and from what I'm hearing, it looks like they're going to kind of go back and try to kind of revitalize the marketing aspect of TCU as a more local team. And that was something that we lost probably about 2015 or so, we really stopped bringing in and marketing towards the greater DFW area, as you know, TCU is your home team, right? We kind of lost that. And it looks like with Sonny coming in and focusing on these local players, and from what I'm hearing, there's going to be a shift where the marketing is going to kind of pull in more local fan base. So that will be a huge help on Saturdays.
I mean, you can see it just on their Twitter right now. They changed their you know, status or whatever, their bio, to DFW's Big 12 college football team.
Yep.
So it's definitely something that we are, you know, pushing for, and why not? We have, as you guys already said, the best recruiting ground, you know, one of the best in the country, definitely the best in the state right here. And, you know, it looks like we can really do some damage with these new guys.
And you know what? I think he's right. And he said something else too. You know, just thinking back on the press conference, you know, somebody asked him about, you know, our brand. And he goes, well, you know, or asking how, what other, you know, I guess what he really asked was what other people, other coaches thought about TCU nationally rather than just locally, you know, if, you know, and he said, hey, you know what? Once we won the Rose Bowl, I mean, that really did it for us. You know, he said, you win the Rose Bowl, not many people get to win the Rose Bowl, you know, in the country. And he said, when that happened, that kind of brought us up to the national brand. And we've had that the whole time now. And so I kind of agree with that. I never thought of it like that. You know, we went to the Fiesta Bowl, then we turned around and went to the Rose Bowl, but we won the Rose Bowl against a, you know, Wisconsin team that's more of a blue blood than, you know, that kind type of deal. And so we've got our brand out there. I'm not even worried about that anymore. I mean, we got kids that come from everywhere to go to school here, you know, and so now it's just going back. I still think let's go back and get our in-state guys and see if we can build a team off that again.
Yeah, I agree. And the future is looking bright. And I cannot wait to see what this staff can actually do moving forward into the spring, and just kind of see how things kind of shake up on this roster a little bit. I think
we get to have a spring game.
Yeah, we do get a spring game.
We got to have a real spring
game. We get to have a real spring game.
An actual one. Yes.
This is a new era of TCU football. We get a real spring game. We won a press conference. We're, you know, not, I don't know, we're not sad all the time.
We have a special teams coach.
We have
I get that too, Sean. somebody should have asked that in the press conference. But you know what? It's just, I mean, I won't be respectful to Coach Patterson, but at the same time, it's a new era. I'm excited too. I'm just excited. You know what? Sometimes change is good. Sometimes it's not good. But until something happens, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be focused on good things that happen with TCU football. I thought it's funny. They tried to paint. Somebody said, well, how are you going to do it in 2022? He said, I haven't even met all the players and everything yet. You know, I'm trying to get to know everybody. You know, I thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, he is right. I mean, somebody asked him about California, and he goes, I went to California. It was in bad shape. You know, Cal was. He said, TCU's not that bad of shape. And I do believe that. But you know what I thought else was an interesting point that he did that I thought was pretty – that he said that was pretty neat. And this is just a little, and I'm not saying that the other coaches didn't care about the kids and stuff, but, you know, I thought it was very interesting how he just understands the game today. He said, you know, as soon as Christmas hits, I'm going to go visit my players that I have home, because I need to go see the players with their parents and with them. And, you know, and get to know them in that fashion. I mean, when he said that, I was like, wow, that's smart. I would have never thought about that. But you know what? Today's portal, you can leave, you can do this. Hey, the best thing to do is if you can get in front of the parents that you've already got, the kids you already got, and make them feel better about what's fixing to happen at TCU. I mean, he's recruiting not only the kids he's got to go out and recruit, but he's kind of going back and recruiting all his kids that are at TCU.
Yeah.
And their parents and everything else. And I thought that was smart when he said that. I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he gets dressed up, goes and visits everybody at Christmas. It's Santa Claus. So there you go.
Santa Claus. Santa Claus.
I had to get in on the puns. All right. Anyway, so it's looking great. I'm excited. We're all excited. It's going to be very interesting.
We're all happy.
Extremely happy. And one of the nice things is that with this change of coaching staff, we may actually be able to get to know the coaching staff a little bit more intimately than just their names, as we'll actually be able to have actual conversations with the assistant coaches. That'll be fantastic. And we're looking forward to
some players every once in a while, maybe.
Players,
who knows?
Maybe even the head coach. You never know.
Wow.
How about that? And hopefully we're working on bringing them to you on this podcast. So stay tuned, as we used to say in the old radio business. And we'll definitely be bringing you that information as we come along. But with that, I think we are all extremely happy, and we'll end on a good note. That is the time where we have come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. Of course, you can find us where all podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. And of course, thanks everybody out there who's been giving us those 5-star reviews on those various platforms. It just helps get the podcast in front of new people. And of course, with the new coaching change, we need some new fans as well. So if you haven't done a 5-star review of the podcast yet, just encourage you, go out there and just give us a 5-star review. You can talk about just how awesome WC is. That's great. That's all you need. And so we'll thank everybody who's out there. And of course, it's the time at the end of the podcast where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!